There is no one coming for you, the Spider-Man said. So far as the Edge knows, the Reaper is dead. This is your last gift from Kingmaker to disappear. Lee spat a curse at him. Do not take this lightly. I will be watching the gates. If you come back, ever, even 7 years from now, he glanced at the brawler, I think you know what will happen. You and your families. He looked at his men and jerked his head toward the distant cliff. Let's move.
What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode where we last left off as Lee and Randall's sellswords mop up the bandits on the Hinter. Lee is reunited with Haytham. That is a pretty massive spoiler, so if you missed last episode or any other, please check out the playlist down in the episode description where you can watch every episode so far. I'll also have links to a couple of recap videos just to give you a sense of where we are in the story. Alright, that is enough from me. Let me get out of the way. I will catch you at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call, and this is Last Colosseum.
They fed the fire with planks they'd ripped off the back of the slaver's other wagon. The stories had lapsed into a sort of pensive silence, and Lee caught himself absently playing the game he used to play as a child, finding shapes in the dancing flames. Now a dragon, now a wolf, now a child. It was still burning high and hot when Randall crossed to one of the torches at the edge of the camp, cut it down from the pole to which it had been tied, and held one of his knives over the flame. Lee watched him curiously, wondering if this was another part of the Qadari funeral rite. He didn't notice the other sellswords moving into position behind him until they grabbed him by the elbows and shoulders like they had earlier. This time he didn't resist.
What are you doing?
He asked as Randall came close, still holding the curved knife over the flame. His eyes flicked to the brawlers.
Haytham?
Haytham didn't move. He motioned to Lee's right cheek and shoulder, which were caked with blood from his wounded ear.
Hold still and it'll hurt less,
one of the sellswords muttered in his ear.
What? No, no, I'll be fine. I can barely feel it.
Where's your backbone, boy? You either do this now or wait until infection takes the whole ear.
He'd found a bit of rope among the outlaw's effects, and he offered it to the thief.
Might help to bite down on this.
Haytham stood by and watched a few paces short of the others. Lee's protestations went entirely unheeded by the sellswords, and they held him fast as the Qadari came in close and seared the edge of his ear with the red-hot knife. Lee snarled and bit his cheeks until they bled. The one who'd offered him the rope held up a sliver of something small and red and rubbery.
In case you get hungry on the road, he joked.
It was the severed edge of the thief's ear. Randall turned to the brawler.
Are you ready?
Haytham's teeth were bared. His injured shoulder hung limp at his side. He nodded. He bit the rope and steadied himself against two of the sellswords as the Qadari took his hand by the wrist. Haytham gave one more nod and roared into the rope as Randall pulled. Lee's stomach turned when he saw the joint click back into place. Behind him, the burning wagon groaned and collapsed in a shower of sparks. They let him go, and the brawler rolled his shoulder experimentally. His brow was beaded with sweat.
Thanks,
he said to Randall. The Qadari had already turned away. The knife he'd used to sear Lee's ear was tucked into his belt. He drew it and held it out to the thief, but first.
You earned this.
There was a little blackened crisp of skin left on the blade.
Try not to lose this one.
Lee took it.
We should get moving before they send buckets from the villages, he said, looking back at the pyre.
The beacon would be visible for miles, and he didn't fancy sticking around to find out what they'd say about the score of corpses stacked in a haphazard pile.
You've got your man waiting at the gates, yes?
He could make out a bright twinkle to the north and east, about a finger above the dark horizon.
Home.
The Qadari's face was solemn.
You misunderstand, he said. You are not coming.
What?
The thief demanded. He glanced at the brawler, whose teeth were grit. He was suddenly very aware that the sellswords had all positioned themselves in a neat circle around Haytham and Lee. For now, they kept their weapons sheathed.
He sent us down here to save Haytham.
My orders were to turn you both loose, not to bring you home.
Lee scowled and made as if to brush past him.
I'm going back.
He didn't brandish the sellsword's knife, but it was in his hand.
We both are,
Lee spat.
Hatham had taken one of the dead man's boots after the battle. They scuffed the gritty hard pan as he shifted his weight.
Lee.
He didn't stop. As he slipped past the sellsword, Randall reached a foot out almost lazily and tripped the thief. Ordinarily, Lee might have been able to keep his feet, but he was bone-tired and had been bracing himself for the sellsword to try and cut him, and he went sprawling on his face. He heard that soft Qadari lilt above and behind him.
You are not the warrior, Kafim. Do not embarrass.
Another scuff on the hardpan, and whatever else the spider's man would have said was interrupted by a grunt and a thud as the Reaper threw himself on top of him. Lee sprang to his feet and leapt in front of the other sellswords, who drew steel but didn't yet intervene. Hatham and Randall were a tangle of arms and legs. They rolled into a patch of half-dried mud and kicked clods of wet clay in every direction. The brawler was bigger, and he scored a couple of blows to the sellsword's face and ribs. But Randall was fed and rested and hadn't just spent the better part of a moon chained hand and foot. He also wasn't a bad knock-knuckles in his own right, which was just as well. Lee didn't doubt that he wouldn't have hesitated to stick his knife in the brawler's ribs if he'd been outmatched. Hatham had made it halfway to his feet. His face and chest were caked with muck when Randall flung himself bodily at the brawler and knocked him back into the mud. The Qadari screwed his knuckles into Hatham's tender shoulder joint, and the brawler roared in pain. That was all it took. A moment later, Randall had him on his chest in the mud with his knee high on the brawler's back. He leaned his whole weight on the back of the Reaper's head and forced his face down into the mud.
I will drown you,
the Qadari snarled. A trickle of blood ran from one nostril into his beard. Lee tried to lunge at him and push Randall off, but the sellsword nearest to him caught him by the collar and held him back. No, you won't, he heard himself say, sounding far more confident than he felt. The spider wants us alive. He could have left Hatham for the Free Nation, but he didn't. Randall considered this. Hatham thrashed and clawed at him, but the Qadari held him fast. Bubbles roiled in the mud around the brawler's face. Lee's jaw was like a vice.
He wants you alive, the spider's man said at length. But he will believe what I tell him.
He bobbed his head toward the expansive darkness.
I said to go. You went west. We never heard from you again.
He looked around at his comrades.
Who will tell him different?
He held Hatham under for one more long moment, then climbed off him. The brawler rolled onto his back, his chest heaving. He mopped the mud off his face and lay there as the Qadari advanced on Lee.
You are only alive, he said, the wagon fire reflected in his eyes, because Mohad died to turn you loose. I do not wish his death to be wasted.
He put a muddy hand on Lee's shoulder.
But if it is the only choice you leave me, we'll go.
They all looked at the brawler, still sprawled on his back in the mud.
West of the edge,
Hatham croaked. The Qadari was triumphant. He cocked his head a little and looked expectantly at the thief, obviously waiting for an answer. He noticed that the sellswords had once again converged in a little circle around him. He dropped his gaze and stabbed the Qadari's curved knife into his belt. Randall seemed satisfied. He left muddy boot prints on the hard pan as he crossed to the brawler and offered his hand. Hatham didn't take it.
There is no one coming for you, the spider's man said. So far as the edge knows, the Reaper is dead. This is your last gift from Kingmaker, to disappear.
Lee spat a curse at him. The sellsword met his scowling gaze.
Do not take this lightly. I will be watching the gates. If you come back, ever, even 7 years from now, he glanced at the brawler, I think you know what will happen. You and your families.
He looked at his men and jerked his head toward the distant cliff.
Let's move.
They made a straight line, cutting northeast toward the low-hanging twinkle that was the edge.
Name survive.
The thief glowered at their retreating shapes until the night enveloped them.
Well, shit.
Hatham had pried himself out of the sucking mud and risen gingerly to his feet. A few bits of brush near the wagon were smoldering a few feet from the pyre, and he stomped one out with his boot. Lee watched him.
You told him we'd leave.
It sounded vaguely accusing. The brawler didn't look at him.
Was your plan to fight through them?
Sure, he grinned. You take those four, and I'll keep watch for reinforcements. Hatham didn't respond. Lee's grin faltered.
He noticed near his foot one of those ugly little gemstones that the Free Nation had brought. It shone reddish and translucent in the firelight.
"We should get moving," he said to the brawler's back as he scooped it off the hardpan. "If he is watching the gates, getting in is going to be a..."
He looked up and saw Red Ugly disappearing beyond the torches. He hurried after him. They cut north and a little west, perhaps to avoid crossing paths with the Qadari and his mercenaries, Lee thought. Haytham's gait was slow and shuffling, like a man 30 years his senior. He'd lost weight, and although it was hard to see much more than his outline in the semi-darkness, his body was mottled with scabs and bruises. He'd been beaten, probably many times since the arrest.
"How long since I saw you?"
They'd been stumbling along in silence for several minutes. Haytham tripped on a half-buried root hidden in the brush, and Lee caught him by his uninjured shoulder before he could fall.
"Thanks,"
Lee thought about it.
"A little over a turn? 15, 16 days?
He wondered whether Haytham had lost count, or if they'd kept him somewhere that he couldn't see the sun. Just darkness without end, punctuated by beatings. He shuddered. He was thankful that Haytham couldn't see.
"What did they do to you in there?"
He didn't answer. Lee tried again.
I tried to break you out. The spider, he wouldn't..."
"They would have killed you."
"No one's managed it yet. I can handle myself."
A pair of vulpine eyes flashed up ahead. A moment later, they heard the tiny screams of a mouse or a rabbit that hadn't managed to dive into its burrow quick enough.
"Besides, I hear they're letting just anyone out of the void if you can manage the climb."
Haytham didn't answer. They walked along in silence for several more minutes.
"What do you mean you saw me die?"
the brawler muttered at length.
"I was wondering when you would ask."
Lee told him the whole story, beginning with the duel at the Hanging Gardens. He told him about trying to find Kingmaker and about the sellsword's rebuff. He left out the bit about feeling secretly pleased when he first heard that the brawler had been arrested. He told him about the launderer and the plan they'd hatched to break Haytham out of the jail. The brawler listened mostly in silence, but here he said,
"It would never have worked."
"It would have worked,"
Lee insisted.
"They started keeping dogs on the grounds."
Lee swallowed. Travers hadn't said anything about dogs. He told him about running from the Grey Cloaks, omitting the part about nearly being eaten by the Black Sow. When he arrived at the execution, he kept the details spare.
"I've never seen the square so full," he said simply. "It was like the whole city came to... Do you hear that?"
They listened closely. It was the rising thunder of approaching hooves.
"Get down,"
Lee muttered, squatting down among the bushes. The hoofbeats got louder and louder, and he saw something dark flit across the twinkle of torchlight from the villages. They were led by 3 riders on horseback, galloping breakneck through the darkness toward the wagon fire in the distance. 2 of them were wearing nightclothes, their smocks streaming like white pennants in their wake. Behind them, 2 wagons heavy laden with big tun barrels thundered along faster than Lee would have thought possible. The steel-reinforced wheels glinted in the firelight as they bounced over rills and gullies. Too late did Lee see that the 2nd wagon was hurtling right toward him, the 2 horses pulling it straining below the driver whipping them on. The driver wasn't looking at him either, and Lee flung himself flat in a dry ditch an instant before the wagon overtook him. He heard the wagon rumble right above his head, and a bit of grit sprinkled into his hair. He lay there for an extra moment or two until the hoofbeats began to fade. He came up and shook the sand out of his hair.
"That was cl—"
He caught himself. Haytham was gone. Lee muttered a curse as he clambered out of the ditch and sped north, calling the brawler's name in a loud whisper. He could hear the faint but steady rush of the Jaxam in the distance. He squinted into the darkness as he ran, his eyes finding figures where there were none, as he had while staring into the fire. Briars slashed at his knees and grasped for his ankles as he ran past. Thankfully, the sticky mud from the outlaw's camp had glued the soles of his worn-out shoes to the leather, and they only began to peel off as he closed in on the river.
There!
He found him standing in the shallows with the water lapping at his knees, silhouetted in a shaft of moonlight that shone through a momentary gap in the low clouds. Lee said his name again, but his voice was snatched away by that of the river, and Haytham didn't turn. His shoulders were slumped, the wings hidden beneath the dried mud crusted over him like a shell. Lee could hardly begrudge him wanting to clean the muck off him.
He turned his back to allow the brawler some privacy while he bathed. He heard a splash, and against his better judgment, he looked. A trail of boot prints on the bank disappearing below the waterline were all that remained of Red Ugly. He saw a still, sleek shape in the water, already 15, 20, 30 paces downriver. He chased it, boot heels slapping against the wet bank, his feet sinking into the sand as he ran. He hunted for that pale shape against the water's dark surface, trying not to count the seconds since his head had gone under. What a twisted joke by an unfeeling heaven if after everything he'd endured, the Reaper drowned in the river half a league west of the Grey Keep. He didn't surface again. Lee grit his teeth and kicked off his useless boots, then dove into the river. The water was cold and bracing, and he let the current carry him out to the fast-flowing middle, where he swam with it, hoping to overtake the brawler. He stayed under for as long as he could, silt stinging his eyes as he searched among the bubbles for the Reaper's shape. He surfaced, gasped for breath, and dove again. The Jackson had carved a deep slash through the hardpan over the centuries, and here it flowed fast and narrow. He felt the reeds swaying like skeletal fingers, grazing his arms and face as the current swept him past. He'd always been a middling swimmer at best, and he shuddered to think about what he'd do if he found the brawler limp and tangled up in riverweed along the bed. The pale shape materialized among the reeds an instant before Lee crashed face first into him. He was motionless at the bottom of the river, bogged down in the sucking mud, the thief guessed. Lee tumbled over him and was nearly dragged off by the current before he managed to claw for one of the brawler's legs. He could barely see a handbreadth in front of his face. Holding fast to Hatham's leg, he tried to kick off the riverbed toward the surface, the little pebbles and bits of broken shell biting into the soles of his bare feet. Hatham's other boot heel found his face and nearly dislodged him. Lee yelped and caught a mouthful of gritty water. He clung to a fistful of the brawler's pant leg with one hand and clawed for purchase along the bottom to anything he could find. A rock, a submerged root, a thick tangle of riverweed, as the current tried to bash him loose with Hatham's foot. His fingers found a boulder sunk deep into the mud, and he screwed them into the crack in its cold surface. As he let go of Hatham's leg and pulled himself against the current to reassert his grip on the boulder, the brawler's face came into view. His eyes were open and his teeth were bared, and he was hugging the rock with both arms. "What are you doing?" Lee grabbed his arm and tried to pry him off the rock, but he was stuck there like a limpet. The thief's lungs burned. His pulse was thudding in his ears. He clawed at the brawler's face and tried to push him off, but Hatham held fast. The muck had sloughed off him in the water, his wings rippling with the current. The scabs and bruises along his back and sides shone dark against his skin. Still clinging to the boulder, Lee felt along the riverbed with his free hand until his fingers closed around a smooth, fist-sized rock. With all the strength he could muster, impeded by the water and with darkness beginning to creep along the edges of his vision, he swung the rock and bashed it into the brawler's ribs where the bruising was the worst. He heard Hatham snarl and flinch away from him, and he swung again and again. And then he was alone on the boulder, the brawler's fingertips raking along his back for purchase before the current dragged him into the dark. Lee braced his feet against the rock and kicked for the surface. He came up surrounded by fire. There were torches on both sides of the river tucked between ramshackle huts. He saw Hatham break the surface 10 yards downriver, quickly sweeping beyond the village and out of the torchlight. "Help!" Lee shouted, spitting water. "Help!" He kicked and cut through the water after his friend as Hatham went under again. The torchlight refracted through the water, bathing this stretch of river in a dim orange glow. Sleek shapes flitted among the riverweed, their scales glinting like tiny candles along the bed. The brawler's inert shape was sinking as the current carried him downriver. Lee cleaved through the cold water, trying to avoid catching another boot in the face. He was 10 feet away from him, now 5, his hands outstretched to grab him by the armpits and pull him to the surface. The brawler was limp, and his eyes were half-lidded. Lee reached for him. A pair of powerful hands snatched him by the collar and dragged him back. "No!" Lee howled, choking on silty water as the motionless Reaper vanished into the dark.
thank you guys so much for listening. It truly is a joy to be able to share this entire story with you. As always, it is a tremendous help if you leave a like or a comment on the video, subscribe if you haven't done that already, and if you're listening on podcast, you can do me a favor by sharing this story with a friend. All right, that is enough out of me. I will catch you next week. Same time, same place. I'll see you then.